Welcome to 3GT, the podcast for three guys, a pastor, a professor, and a parishioner discuss theology from a practical standpoint, all from a Reformed perspective. Find out more at 3GT.xyz.
Thank you for tuning in to another episode of 3GT. That's Three Guys Theologizing. This is Barry York, and I'm joined once again with my friends, Kyle Borg, a pastor in a rural congregation where over 10% of the people in his community belong to his church, and Scott Hunt, who daily is putting bad guys behind bars. So it's good to be with you guys once again. You know what my wife calls our program? Instead of 3GT. I told you this before.
I've not heard it.
She calls us 3GP, three guys pontificating. and then I have to, you know, remind her of Reformation history and all that.
That's fair. That's fair, though. I can go with that. So
yes, 3GP. Well, we're going to pontificate or theologize a little bit today about what we might call the bleep. Or four-letter word, or the use of swear words. We're finding ourselves in an increasingly crass culture where people are just throwing around swear words left and right. I still remember being shocked as a young man hearing a girl actually swear. I was used to it in a sports locker room hearing guys swear some, but I remember being shocked to hear a girl swear. My first time was in high school, I believe it was. And that's certainly not the case anymore. Many people use swear words quite frequently. You even hear Christians using them. And it got my curiosity up, guys, I remember there were some issues in the history of television where swear words have arisen. And I found an article by a man named Nathaniel Coughlin, just wrote it in August. And actually, the idea of the bleep came from him. Column is entitled "The Bleep You Can't Say on TV: A History of Swearing and Television." Just wanted to point out a couple of things that he had in his article. He tells a story that in 1961, a comedian named Lenny Bruce faced his first charge for obscenity after he swore in a stand-up comedy set. And he went through the cycle of being released and then arrested, actually, for using obscene words publicly. And then he was actually charged in 1964 for obscenity and found guilty. Well, he died somewhere after that. And in 1970, he was posthumously pardoned for his charges. So we see vulgar language being allowed more and not frowned upon so much. And then in 1972 was a pivotal point because the comedian George Carlin released an infamous bit about the seven words you can't say on television. I'm not going to obviously say those seven words, but this led to another.
Why not? Some of us are young, Barry. We don't know what those seven words are. So.
Yeah. Well, maybe
George Carlin, right?
Yeah, who's George Carlin? So that ended up even being taken up to the Supreme Court, this case, as the FCC charged him with violations. And ultimately, the Supreme Court ruled that Carlin's language was, quote, indecent, but not obscene.
Wow.
splitting hairs.
Leave it to a lawyer to split hairs like that.
No, yes, okay.
That's right. That's right. So let's talk a little bit about this, swear words. First of all, when we're talking about swear words here, we've done an episode previously. It was episode 49, actually. I looked that up also, where we talked about using the Lord's name in vain, the third commandment. And would you men agree that just to start talking about this, even though the swear words might not be just directly related to the Lord's name, using that in vain, but that the whole idea of using swear words would fall under a violation of the third commandment primarily. Is that your viewpoint?
Well, I would agree that it does fall under the third commandment largely, though I think depending on the phrases used, there could be accusations of violations of many commandments. The sixth commandment, the eighth commandment, you know, I do think primarily
just for the sake of our listeners, Scott, as you list these commandments, what you tell them, what you're thinking of, in case they're not as well versed in the Ten Commandments as you are.
Well, I'll assume you're talking about the commandments and not the words. You know, so there are times that accusations or swear words can be used in which you're accusing somebody of killing somebody, of participating in egregious acts of a sexual nature, mm-hmm. accusing parents of being animals, among others, and just crassness. So, yeah, I do think that swearing violates the third commandment, but I think you're selling mm-hmm. swearing far short if you just leave it at the third commandment.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Kyle, other thoughts?
Oh, boy. No, I'm not sure that I would be quick to draw that line. I think that, one, I want to be very clear in my own mind. I think blasphemy is different in character from four-letter words that we often regard as swearing. So I want to be very clear about that distinction. Blasphemy is absolutely without excuse, and the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. Mm-hmm. I do think the third commandment binds us to a right use of our tongues, and that it would forbid, as our larger catechism talks about, it would forbid sinful cursings, mm-hmm. Sinful oaths, sinful vows. It would forbid unprofitable questions or vain janglings. Vain janglings. We'll leave that to everybody else. But I would not. It would touch upon profane jesting, profane joking, things like that. But I would want to. I guess I would want to make sure we are using a proper and biblical definition for what swearing and cursing really is. So that's part of my question with this whole thing. You know, usually when we think of swear words, and again, I'm distinguishing that from blasphemy, we think of four-letter words. We think of those seven words that George Carlin spoke of. And I guess, to be very honest, and maybe this is about to make our episode very interesting, I'm not sure that just because society says a four-letter word isn't appropriate in this or that circumstance, that therefore to use it would be a violation of the third commandment.
Mm-hmm. Well, that was, you're taking me right where I wanted to go with this.
I fell into your trap, didn't I?
Yeah.
Barry's giggling over there. He's got me.
So. No, not really. I just wanted to specify, to help make that distinction a little bit, that though the third commandment is primarily speaking about the use of the Lord's name, clearly, that it still has a broader application to our speech, as you helped us to see, both of you, in that, and that swearing can violate other commandments as well. And that takes us then right to where I wanted to ask. So what makes a swear word a swear word? You talked about culture thinking of some words as a swear word and others not. And again, some believers think you can use the word to discuss the word, even though you're not using the word like you would use it if you were using it. I'm just not going to go there. I'm not comfortable doing that, actually saying the word. But I can allude to some things. So the bleep. I don't want to have an episode where we're bleeping. So let's take the word that is synonymous with defecating or
what word going, is that, Barry?
Going number two, whatever. what makes that word a swear word?
Well, the one thing when I think about these words is, what is their biblical connotation? You know, if you call somebody that, like you little number two, you are comparing them with something that was to be taken outside of the camp and buried. And so it was dirty, it was unclean, And so it has the connotation of you are unclean, you are to be outside the camp. And so you are making a judgment on somebody in vain. Perhaps not in vain, maybe they cut you off in traffic, but you know, there is a theological connotation to what you're calling him. And because of that, I do think that it is a swear word. You know, you hear farmers use it a lot in its proper context. I don't know that it's a swear word in that situation. So I think you have to be careful of, you know, it's a swear word and you can't ever use it. And other times, yeah, it's not. I think you have to judge the context of how a word is being used.
So if your child went and worked on the farm, I know you have farmers in your congregation, and came back home and told you they were shoveling, and then they used that word, what would you say to your child?
Kyle, I think he was asking you that question.
Yeah, so, okay.
Both of you have farmers in your congregation.
I would say, you certainly were, weren't you? Way to put in an honest day of good work. So, I think Scott begins to touch on something that I want to run with a little bit. Mm-hmm. I think swear words in our society are a created list of vocabulary words that people regard as inappropriate. Now, that's largely, but even there, in a societal way, there's not agreement. If you go and hang out with the youth in downtown Seattle, what they regard as appropriate language is not going to be what Mabel, you know, some old lady in my community thinks is appropriate language or whatever. Mm-hmm. And so, but that's the way society has done it, is it's a bit of a social construct. We have assigned a meaning to this word, and there are those who then have assigned a negative meaning, those who may think in their own minds it's a neutral meaning or whatever. But I think what Scott's getting at and where I want to run with it is a lot of it is dependent upon context, and a lot of it is dependent upon intent. And that's where I think the biblical ethic of our language and our vocabulary words really needs to begin. It's a matter of the heart. You know, even when you think of the name of God, there is a way with good intentions to use that in a reverent way. And we do that in worship. We do that when we praise him. We do that when we worship him. It is not in and of itself a bad word, but the context and the intent in which we use that word can very quickly change that point, and it becomes blasphemy. And I think we need to keep that in mind when we think about these words. I know that it's often argued, and I know you're going to get scholars on both sides, but Barry, you're directing us to a word that means dung or manure or what have you. And there's that passage in Scripture in Philippians where the Apostle Paul says, I consider all things a loss. And there are some biblical scholars who are smarter than me who will say that's actually a fairly derogatory term, the term that Paul is using in the original there. And it is the derogatory term equivalent to our derogatory term for dung. And Paul is saying, I consider all of that, all things a loss. I consider it dung compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus. Now, just so people don't think I'm totally ignorant, I know other scholars challenge that and say it's not a derogatory term, so I'll let the scholars debate it. But I do think context and intent biblically are primarily the focus of what makes for wholesome talk versus corrupting talk.
Yeah, we teach in hermeneutics, the study of Scripture, that you have to take the context of any word. I often use the example, if I say I went and sat down by the bank near the river, most people are going to think one thing, but if I say I went and sat down by the bank and counted my money near the river, then you start thinking, well, bank in one context means the river bank, whereas the other one could make it sound like it's the actual building where money is found. And so context is really, really important. And I think what you're pointing out is that how not just the four letters of the word themselves, because we can even take the name of the Lord or God and use it in a derogatory or sinful or swearing fashion. So it's not just the four letters, but it's the context in which they're being used that's so important. Now, again, we wouldn't be then saying, well, we're just giving people the freedom to use the S word or the F word or whatever word they're might be thinking of. We're not saying that, but we do have to look at the context and the reason why people are using their words, which really then takes us to the matter of the heart. And why don't you speak to that a little bit? Jesus said that what comes out of a man's mouth is revealing what's in his heart. And I don't think people often think deeply enough about that their words are revealing what's in their heart. And when people are using swear words and in an inappropriate context, how is that showing them what their heart is like?
Well, I think it shows they don't have true regard for their brother. Oftentimes you swear words are, when I think of curse words, to make a distinction, I suppose, using the distinction that Kyle made, they're generally directed at somebody and they're derogatory in nature. And so it doesn't show due regard for your brother. It shows there's hate in your heart. There's anger, clearly not thinking right, not thinking through things. I mean, I'm not going to say that somebody who goes out and swears is not a Christian, but it certainly gives me reason to pause as to their sanctification and you know, how they're working through that. Are they thinking through the things they say? As Psalm 19 says, are they thinking, you know, may all the words I say and all the thoughts within come up before your eyes and win your approval, Lord? You know, they're clearly not doing that if they are using this kind of language.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I think the heart is obviously the heart of the matter. We tend, when we read the scriptures and we see things about Ephesians 4:29, let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths. I think the knee-jerk reaction, because it's the easiest, is to make a list of vocabulary words and slap corrupt over those words and say, as long as I avoid those words, whew, I'm scot-free, right? I've never, you know, you talk to some of our well-intentioned young people who say, I've never used a four-letter word. It's not allowed in my house. I've never had corrupting talk. But this is where you need, again, to understand the biblical ethic, even for words, is that, as you said, Barry, it begins in the heart. The Apostle Paul doesn't just say, let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but there in Ephesians 4:29, but only such as is good for building up as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. So corrupting talk there is juxtaposed to offering grace. Wherever you are not offering grace and profiting somebody with the words you say, you are actually speaking corrupting words. It's not a list of vocabulary words. Now, sometimes those vocabulary words are very reflective of the heart, as, mm-hmm. as Scott has said, you know, if you call somebody a bleep and bleep, 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 more often than not, I would have a hard time thinking that that's coming from a heart that's seeking to minister grace to somebody. It's actually an expression of anger. It's an expression right. of bitterness, of hate, of a lack of self-control. And it's that that then makes that corrupting talk. I said it in anger, but I think we need to be clear that whether you call somebody a bleep and bleep, bleep, bleep in anger, or whether you call them a dumbhead, the anger behind that, both of that, those are both demonstrations of corrupting talk. And my point in all of that is that the biblical ethic for words is in one sense, it's bigger than we usually attribute to it. It's not just a list of vocabulary words. It's a matter of the heart from which those words proceed.
Mm-hmm. And like we often do, we tend to like lists and check the lists, and if I'm not doing that, then I'm okay, rather than saying again how deep the law of God is to go into our hearts, into our self-examinations, yeah. And see, yeah, again, I might not have ever said a certain word, but the spirit that people do use those words in can be found in me, and that's what we have to address. Let's talk about helping people overcome swearing. If you have a child and they're swearing, well, let me ask you this to you guys first, and then I'll ask you about your parental skills. Did you ever have your mouth washed out with soap when you were a child?
Yes, I did. I didn't know it was bad at the time. Full disclosure, I was 5. I heard my babysitter say it. And it was the word that we've been discussing.
Yeah.
And my parents had left something, and so just as a reaction, I said it, and boy, I got in trouble for it. I didn't know what it meant. I didn't know it was bad. I heard my babysitter say it, but yeah, I got my mouth washed out.
Well, if we're going for full disclosure, I learned all I needed to learn on the school bus. And we're not going to get into it. It's still a painful experience. But when I was in junior first grade, please don't ask me what junior first grade is, but I was in junior first grade. And John West, who I haven't talked to since junior first grade, taught me all the expletives in the English language. And I wrote them down on a piece of paper, and I carried them in my pocket, and it fell out, and my teacher found it. And I still remember she sat with me in the hallway, and she said, "What is this?" And I
said, "Well, you said it was George Carlin's list."
I said it was George Carlin's list, yes. I did not get my mouth washed out with soap, but I did get threatened severely by teacher and parents that those are words never to be used.
Yes, yes. Well, I'll probably get CPS after me, but I've been known to have done that with a child or two. Not because we think that that's in itself effective in one sense, but it does communicate, just like a children's sermon does, that you need your mouth cleansed. And I can't do it really with soap, but you need the Lord to help you to do that. And what are ways that we can help people to be gracious in their speech? I was thinking, as I was reflecting on this whole matter, similar to the verse you quoted, Kyle, over in Colossians 4:6, "Let your speech always be gracious, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how you ought to answer each person." I actually like to pray that verse at a meal, especially when we have company over. As we're thinking about eating, putting things in our mouth and eating the food, we want it to be seasoned well, that in the same way what comes out of our mouth in the course of the conversation would also be seasoned with the grace of God. Well, you can pray for that, but what are other ways that we can help people to grow in this whole idea of being gracious with their speech?
Well, I will tell you, I don't recall the circumstance. I don't think my child said a bad word, but I think a bad word was said in a presence out in public somewhere. And so I sat them down and I talked to them about it. And what I tried to impress upon them is the actual meanings of the word. If you say this, what you are saying in actuality, and then explaining to them why saying that is really bad. We haven't mentioned, I don't think, the F word, but that is an accusation of sexual impurity, as I understand it.
Sorry.
That's okay.
Listeners, I was reacting.
I thought you were just waiting to bust out laughing because I said you can't see the air quotes, or maybe you can. But you know, to explain to them that when you say that, you are making an accusation of adultery or fornication about somebody. And those are serious accusations. Mm-hmm. So I try to help them think through what it is they're actually saying and why they shouldn't even say what it means, not just the word itself. And then of course you have the substitutes, and they're no better.
Yes. Yeah. You
know, just whitewash on bad words.
So, what do you guys think about, so often as parents, we're reactive. Our children hear a word a babysitter said and say it, or that type of thing, or bring home the trash from the school bus, so to speak. Is there any, do you think we should be proactive if they're a certain age and maybe they're getting out more, or do we just take it as it comes? In other words, do we give them the list and tell them these are the bad words and these are words we don't say?
I think we need to, one, we need to be proactive. We need to shepherd our children's mouths. And by that, I mean, the Proverbs speak so much about the way in which we use our mouths. And I guess Rachel and I have, we've never wanted our kids to think that it's just a matter of vocabulary words. Right? Where words are many, sin is not lacking. The lying mouth, the flattering mouth, the slandering mouth, the fighting mouth, all of these things are corrupting speech, and it's not worthy to be coming out of the mouth of one who's redeemed by Christ. Whereas, our mouths, as the Proverbs tell us, has the power, our tongues have the power of life and death in them. Mm. And to teach our children, let your mouths be an avenue of life. Have a restrained mouth, have a gentle mouth, have a timely mouth, and a mouth that speaks words of knowledge and things like that. So I think we need to be very proactive in shepherding our children and understanding how to use the tongue to praise and glorify God. I also, though, think there isn't harm. I don't think CPS is going to get called. Parents to sit down and honestly, at age appropriate and in an appropriate circumstance, tell their kids, here's the words. They've got questions. Don't judge me. We watched a Christmas Story last night. The one about little Ralphie who wants a Red Ryder BB gun. And I hadn't seen it in years, but I just remember thinking it was really funny, and there were some extremely funny parts. And on the whole, a fairly clean movie, but as the little boy Ralphie is helping his dad change the tire, he drops the lug nuts in the snow, and he goes, "Fudge!" But then the narrator voice kicks in and says, "But that's not really the word that I used." And that brought my oldest kids to say, "Well, what word did he use? What's wrong with the word that he did use? And what, and he ended up getting his mouth washed out with soap." And so I'm sitting here laughing as you're asking that. And so I think for parents stupid enough to let their kids watch A Christmas Story, I think to teach them those things in a context where it's not coming from a heart of anger and bitterness and sinfulness, but a genuine, "I'm going to instruct you in this. Here's what you're going to hear. Are these things appropriate?" I think it helps our children be discerning.
Yes. And we need to help not just our own children and our families, but we really need to help the people of God, their children. A lot of adults have grown up in contexts, and they come into the church. And, one of the first things that people do, especially if you're a pastor, is if they find out you're a pastor and they swear, or they already know you're a pastor and they swear, they tend to start apologizing pretty
quickly. Do they ever? They catch themselves in the middle of the word, like, "You know what? I just had the worst bit. Excuse me, pastor. It's very
good." Which is just going to show that there is a conscience, and people need to keep working at exercising that. And I think we need in the church today, especially again, living in such a crass society, that we need to help people to learn to speak well and to watch what they speak, what they say to others. And so I think the church has a lot of work to do, a lot of discipleship to do in this area, learning how to control our tongues and use them for God's glory. I think studies in the book of Proverbs, as Kyle's mentioned, or in the book of James are very instructive. I know when I've been in those books, this subject has come up quite a bit. Well, guys, we're running out of time here pretty quickly. Is there any other final words of wisdom you'd like to impart to our listeners? Is there any final pontificating from on high you would like to do?
Does this mean I can ignore the list of words you gave me when I began? That, I wasn't allowed to say.
Oh, yes, that's right. That's okay. Right. All right, I have to bleep you.
Yeah.
Well, Barry, you gave me some good content for my sermon on Sunday. I'm just going to do a list of words. And I just think it's important for my congregation to be able to discern that. So I'm just going to give them the four-letter words from the pulpit.
Yeah, I'm sure that would be well received.
I would never do that. So.
No. Nor use one when we're preaching. I've seen guys try to do that, and it just, the shock value is just inappropriate and in a holy place.
Well, John Piper did it once.
Well,
did you?
Every now and then I disagree with John Piper about something. Well, we're glad you've tuned in to this episode of 3GP, Three Guys Pontificating. We hope it's been some help to you and just encouragement to meditate before the Lord and bring pure words into his presence and the presence of other people. We are 3GT, and you can find us over at our website at 3GT.xyz. We'd love for you to visit there. And if you're in the spirit of giving and would like to leave a donation for us there, that would be greatly appreciated. Thank you for listening to 3GT.